And I'm reading today a passage out of the Gospel of Matthew. And the Gospel of Matthew is an interesting book. It's what we're going to be hearing a lot of this year. And as I read it, you'll find it has a little bit of the balance of the passage we read last week, the book of Ecclesiastes. But here we go. I'm going to read verses 5, 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, Jesus went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you or persecute you and utter all kinds of evil falsehood against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us." There's a pastor named Lillian Daniel who reminded me that we live in very litigious days. She reminded me of fast food restaurants and how obvious that is. Do you remember in the old days when we had a McDonald's here on Market? You could get a hot apple pie. They were about this big in a red cardboard container. And on the cardboard container, it said, "Caution, contents may be hot." What looked soft and yummy and sweet could burn your tongue big time. This familiar treat was not harmless. It may even bite you back. And the Beatitudes kind of speak of that too. They kind of sneak up on us. These words of Jesus have been misquoted so many times, they kind of have become bland and mushy around the outside. Blessed are the meek and the poor and the merciful. We tend to remember only the parts that kind of reflect the lowest common denominator, like "have a nice day" of our culture, the parts that go down easy, like those hot apple pies of my youth. We tend to forget or ignore the hot insides, the news that the poor and the persecuted are not only blessed, but they'll inherit the kingdom of God. We forget that it's called a blessing to have people revile us, to utter evil, to gossip about us, to say alternate truth, as we'd say in this day. How are we to be peacemakers in a world that's only talking about we are number one? Caution, the contents of these words may be hot. This scripture of Sermon on the Mount, as we come to call it, is not really quite what we expect. When it's in other gospels, it's Sermon on the Plain, a flat place. And it isn't only these 12 verses. It starts here and goes all the way to 7:29. That's a lot of words. One person said this could be the longest sermon that Jesus ever preached. But probably what it is, a collection of many of the things that Jesus taught. And it's not totally clear who he's speaking to. It kind of happens when you put stories together. In verse 1, it kind of sounds like he's talking to a small group, but at the time you get to the end at 7:29, he's talking to tons of people. But it is clear that Jesus teaches people, either in small groups or large crowds, And in that crowd were people that were seeking to understand what Jesus was saying. Maybe the curious, maybe the bored, maybe the people that wanted to get him in trouble. But I would say it was many people who wanted to follow Jesus. And the clear message from these 12 verses is it isn't simply enough to say, I love Jesus, or Jesus is really a great guy. You're expected to have a change in your life. That in response to his amazing love, you're supposed to have a new way of living. And that's really what a church is supposed to be, teaching us how to live in a new way in response to the love and forgiveness we've experienced, in response to knowing God. And it is rather tempting to kind of quickly go over this passage and never ask too many questions, because if you start asking questions about the Beatitudes, which means blessings, you will never stop. I remember when I read this passage in junior high at a little Bible called Good News for Modern Men. It irritated me. I looked at my copy. I crossed out men and wrote girls. But I loved my Bible, but I read this verse once, and I remember not liking it very much, because really, I didn't think I really wanted to be poor or sad or allow people to call me names, so I just kind of avoided this passage. And I was able to do that for a great many years. And then I started to have to preach it, and you have to pay attention to words when you preach them. And I found out that blessed has a really complicated, well, not complicated, but rich meaning in Greek. Blessed, which was the language this was written in, blessed means a right relationship with God. To be regarded righteous or good in God's sight. So to be happy in the biblical sense means to trust yourself to God, to kind of be shaped and conformed by God's values, depending on God that everything you'll need will come from God. Oh, that's a really different idea. Blessed means to be in right relationship with God, and let to God control us. That's a very different from the smiley face sticker you will find on my junior high Bible. This is a more complicated kind of joy and blessing. And then there's the questions of, do the blessings come from God now, or do they come in the future? And the answer is yes, both and. The blessings are dealing with the right here and now, but also directing our hearts towards a future time when God's love will be the norm. When the meek and the poor in spirit and the peacemakers and those that are merciful is what happens every day, and God's reign and love will be complete. I love this quote. I know I've said it before. Barbara Brown Taylor says that this kind of blessing is like knowing you're in the back of the bus now, but someday you'll be in the front. It's the now and the future sense. And these blessings have often been twisted by people to say things they don't really mean. Like, I've heard people quote the third verse about blessed are the poor, and they said, we don't really need then to worry about the poor because they're always going to be here. It's God's plan. Not really what it says. Or I've heard people say, blessed are the meek, so just go ahead and don't raise too much fuss. Like, don't you organize for a good wage for everyone? Or they've kept men and women in relationships where they are hurt because they don't want to raise any fuss. You're supposed to be subservient. This is not what those passages are saying. Jesus is not saying you're supposed to be a victim. Jesus clearly says you're supposed to be with those that society ignores, to those who are the victim, to the hurting, and we're supposed to take care of, eliminate that thing that oppresses them. And there's four verses that kind of I find the hardest to ignore. And if I've preached this before, I've probably preached these verses because they still get me and I'm not very good with them. Like verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom in heaven. Okay, poor. Poor just doesn't mean you gave us $10,000 because we need it, so you're really poor. I wouldn't say no, maybe. And it doesn't mean someone who just doesn't have a lot and is just working a minimum wage job. Poor in this case means absolute poverty, to be forced on one's knees, to be destitute. For those people will have their whole trust in God. And I think in this scripture it probably means the 4,000 on the streets, the other 3,000 in shelters. It's that kind of poor it's talking about. For it seems when people have a lot of money or enough money, they can have kind of a self-reliance that's brought on by prosperity. They can forget the dependence on God. They can start, and sometimes this is me, can start seeing my blessings, my good, decent paycheck as something I kind of have deserved. That those that kind of lack outward circumstances, outward money, must have been done something wrong. We say that sometimes. But here's what I know. When people are at their very lowest, AA, Alcoholic Anonymous would call it reaching rock bottom, then those people have to admit they have nothing else to turn to but God. That's kind of what this passage is talking about, those. Those kind of people, that kind of direness, we will turn our spirits to God in ways we never have been. And that kind of poverty makes us good citizens in the kingdom of God. But the verse doesn't just say poor, it says poor in spirit, which may speak to a kind of poverty that infuses our spirit and our soul. Poor in spirit can also mean brokenhearted. You know those folks who are brokenhearted. Sometimes, oftentimes, once in a while, it's been us. And sometimes when those kind of people are around us, we get really uncomfortable because they remind us of those places in our lives we'd rather ignore. But I've discovered in those times of darkness, of hurt, we may let people actually help us. We may ask for help and take it to know that we totally do depend on God. And so I hope that we would be a people who bring God's healing to those that are poor and poor in spirit, and also learn from their dependence on God. And then verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I was thinking about it. I'm not sure I have said meek out loud except the last time I preached on this scripture. It's just not a word we use, and that probably does because if you look in the dictionary, I didn't use a paper one, I did it online. To be meek means to be overly submissive. I mean, that's one of the definitions, to be overly submissive. And really, who wants that? Who wants to have such little power? But the Bible translates it in a whole different way. Blessed, it means blessed and meek. Meek means always being angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time. Angry at the right time and not angry at the wrong time. It's one who is controlled by God, one who is humble enough to admit their own ignorance, their own weakness, their own needs and faults, and then turn to other people to help them. I hate not knowing everything. And if I'm honest, sometimes I will argue a point I don't even know anything about, but I just won't let go. My sister will remind me of that. And it's kind of saying, being aware that we do not know everything so we can learn. Because, you know, we just do not have enormous brains. Some of you might, but really, we can't do everything well. So it means learning and helping and being aware of where we have limitations. I probably told this story about a father back when I was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, who came into my office, and sometimes parents will come because something will happen with their kids and they want to talk to someone about it who they're not related to. And the father admitted that at dinner, if his kids did not finish their food on their plate, he would get angry at them. He'd say, "Eat everything on your plate, for there are hungry people." He didn't say in China, but he was close. And he didn't like how angry he was getting just his kids because they were full. So he came into me and talking about it, he remembered when he was a child, his mother would say, "You have to eat everything on your plate because there are starving children in China." And she would make him sit there until it was done. And sometimes it was hours. So he felt guilty about starving children that he didn't know how to help. And the fact that he had to sit at that table alone. And that's why his kids were getting that really strong reaction. So part of meekness is knowing your own self. And maybe that father was able to say to his children then, "You know, I need you to eat everything on your plate that you can. And let's go and see who might be hungry in the neighborhood. Let's see how we can work in a food pantry if he was in our church or would help in a community meal." Meekness. It means we don't master our own selves and that we really get to be in control when we realize we're not in control. See, that's the odd thing about scriptures. It says things like that. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." Now, I got to say, mercy is a word I like a lot. It means loving kindness. Loving kindness. Mercy is not so much an attribute, but an activity of being forgiving and showing compassion. It's something to be done. I guess I could almost say it's kind of a verb. Probably drives our English teacher, Erwin, a little crazy to say that, but it is kind of verby. Okay. Oops, I made up a whole other word. I'm sorry, I'm stopping. Let me just get a glass of water. It is more than having pity on someone. It's more than showing sympathy. It's the ability to get in the other's skin so we can see through their eyes. I mean, we use that saying, or we used to, you don't know what it's like until you walk in another person's shoes. This means you don't know what it's like until you actually get inside of their skin. That's the image, that you really listen and try to understand and love that person out of loving kindness. It's kind of a creepy but powerful image in that way. That when you really know someone, that you will show that loving kindness, that empathy. And we kind of pray this each week. We do the Lord's Prayer, which is also in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beat. We pray each week, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." It means because we have been forgiven from God, we forgive others. That's what that mercy cut means. Because God has loved us, we love others. And isn't it really God, in the most literal sense, got into the skin of humankind through Christ and loves us and forgives us and wants to show us mercy? I just have to play with that image a little bit more. But I have to admit, the verses that are really kind of working on me this week are, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil and falsehoods against you on my account." I think that's going to be a little bit of a hot issue in our world and nation. I marched in the Women's March last week here with 100,000. I didn't march light, as you that were here last week. I got off on Civic Center and then got back on BART at Montgomery because it was raining so much. And I was kind of bragging it to a group of folks, and we said we did it, a couple of us that did it, and some of the women who had not been in the march, and they said, but what are you going to do now? But what are you going to do now? And I'm thinking, I marched. Wasn't that enough? And then I tried to make it all churchy. I said, but all those women, it was a witness. And they kind of bought that, but I thought, oh, there really, it is a question. But what will I do now? How will I be active for those concerns around that loving kindness of others? I'm not really sure yet. That's the piece I have to wrestle with. I'm going to offer you maybe a way to start working on this. It's a translation of this that a woman did of the Beatitudes. I'm going to give this to you. Blessed are the forgotten and the forsaken, the ones who we walk by and overlook, for heaven will be their home. Blessed are the mothers who rage against the deaths of their black and brown-skinned children, whose lives have flowed through our streets, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the faithful Muslim and Jews who live under the threat of hateful bombs, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the fierce ones who speak truth, acting out mercy, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the quiet ones who show up when no one else to speak a word of hope, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers and the justice seekers who push us beyond what is into what needs to be, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who have had hate thrown at them in Jesus' name, for theirs will be the realm of heaven. Blessed are those who speak truth to power. When you step away from the center, you make room for the marginalized. And when you awaken to injustice all around you, others may revile you, but you will be loved beyond your imagining, and your reward will be immeasurable. God's wisdom looks a lot like foolishness. May we have the courage to make fools of ourselves for the sake of love. And that's what we say we want to be transformed by. It's marvelous and frightening. It's overwhelming, and it may happen. May we be the peacemakers and the mercy givers and the encouragers and the hope givers that God imagines us to be. Amen.